Hello and welcome to the Greenfield Baptist Sermons Podcast. Each week we will be uploading the focus scripture and sermon from Greenfield Baptist Church in Northeast Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us and enjoy.
Thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us safety to get here. Lord, we pray for those who aren't with us or stayed home today. We just pray that you would be working in their lives as well. Thank you for the opportunities you put in front of us. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, may it remind us of the things that you have desire for us in our lives. Lord, may we just learn to do the disciplines that you desire for our life. We recognize that these are not just for something to do, Lord, but to grow closer, to bend our will towards yours. And so, Lord, as we look at confession today, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, help us to see, Lord, what that means in our own life. Show us the light. In your name we pray. Amen. Scripture this morning is out of 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Lord, as we are in front of you this morning, much like David was when he wrote that, broken over the understanding of his sin and how it separated him from you. Lord, we don't like to look at those dark areas in our lives. We'd rather just ignore them, pretend they don't exist, push them off as not all that big a deal. And yet they separate us from you. We hope if we ignore them, they'll just go away. In some ways, that's what David did. Until he was faced with it, he chose not to deal with it. And we too act that way much too often. And so, Lord, even this morning, even in this moment, as we confess our sins, as we confess those things in our life that have gotten between you and us, Lord, I ask that you would forgive us, that you would wash our sins clean, that we would be white as snow, that the things that cause separation would be gone. We recognize that on our own, Lord, we probably won't even make it through this service without being in the same space again. And that's why we need your grace. Your grace is sufficient for our forgiveness. And so we thank you for that. Lord, help us to not miss this important discipline this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If you're a child, you can run. If you're not, you can run too, I guess, if you want. Ken, would you like to run? Kenny doesn't want to run today. You can. You're allowed. You can if you want. Yeah, you always can. Sometimes Kenneth, right?
Yeah,
that's right. So this week we're going to talk about. So we're working our way through this book, and I just want to make mention if you haven't read the book or if you haven't taken the dive to jump into this book, it's a great book. It really is. It has a lot of meat to talk about in your life. And for some of us, like, some of these are easy. Some of these we already do, and we're well-versed at those disciplines. Some of these disciplines are a little bit more challenging, a little bit harder. Maybe we haven't spent much time. So when you think about confession, I want to talk just for a minute. What do you think about when you hear the word confession?
Priest,
yeah, priest. Forgiveness, okay. Honesty, that's a good one. Does anybody know where the Baptist confessional is?
I actually think of crime.
Crime, okay. What did you say? Okay. Where is it at? Oh, at the cross, fair. Right, when we think of confession, it doesn't take us very long to get to the Catholic understanding of confession, right? Because I think the Catholics do a pretty good job of it. I think maybe they go, maybe there's a step too far, but I think one of the challenges in our mindset sometimes is that as soon as we think it's something Catholic, we push against that because we're Baptist, right? And there's a piece of it, though, that they got right, that they figured out, And I think confession is important for us. Why is confession important? What is good? What is it? Well, we just listened to Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me." And what was good about that? If you've read that whole psalm and you understand the story Mark was talking about, what is the powerful piece in David's confession? Yeah, he's healed. Someone else? Humility, yeah, right? When David realized he made a mistake, when David realized what he was doing was absolutely wrong, and that it was separating him from God, he came to this space where he understood the pain and that he was causing God in the midst of his moral failure. And I think we too have those. Anybody have a guilty conscience? Right? Anybody feel guilty about some of the things we've done in our lives? Right? I meet people all the time who are afraid to walk into the church, fearing that their history, what they did 20 years ago, is still hanging over their head. Those skeletons in their closet, they're still dealing with those struggles and those sins and those failures. Do you realize that we live in a culture, and this may date me a little bit, but anybody remember Post Secret? Does anybody know what that is? Still exists, by the way, right? If you had a secret, you couldn't tell another soul in the whole wide world. You could literally take a postcard, fill it out, send it in the mail, and it would get, if it was good, they would post it in these books. And you can go, and you can still even online today buy Post Secret books. And so you read all of people's deepest, darkest secrets that they've never told another soul. There's only two rules to sending something to Post Secret. One, it has to be true. You can't make it up, right? It needs to be true. And the other is you cannot have told another soul in this earth. But we live in a culture where we are looking for ways to clear that struggle from inside and get it out. We're looking for ways to be able to absolve ourselves in some way of the struggles, of the problems. And if you tell me you don't have any secrets and you don't have any guilt, I'm going to tell you you're probably not being honest with yourself, right? We all have those things that we probably regret, all those things that we have made poor choices, poor decisions. We have all of those. Those are all a part of our lived experience. And I'm going to call them sin for today. Right? This is kind of the mindset when we think of confession. Right? In the Catholic realm, they go to confession. And so they share those struggles. And some people go pretty regular. Some people go a whole lot less regular. I don't know all the details to that piece of it, but I understand this. There's some value. There is a lot of value, obviously, in being able to share those things. Now, for some of us, we don't share them. We don't confess to God as much as we'll confess to a friend, right? Someone we trust, someone we think we can tell, and they won't tell another soul in the world. Foster, in the book Celebration of Discipline, says this: confession is a difficult discipline for us. Why? Because we all too often view the believing community, that's you guys, believing community, just letting you know, as a fellowship of saints before we see it as a fellowship of sinners. There's almost this holier-than-thou mindset. And that's what Foster says. He says, you know, we kind of get hung up on, like, I already got it figured out, and only people that don't have it figured out don't come to church. When the reality is, it's quite the opposite. You ought to be coming to church because you are a sinner. And you ought to be able to come to church because you understand that you need a Savior. I'm going to tell you this funny story, and it could be someone who knows more about it than I. When Dave Waldo was here and the pastor, he bought a banner that said, Welcome Sinners. Some of you may remember that banner. If you walked in the front door, you got the first one, and then it was right there. Welcome Sinners. And he got a lot of pushback, a lot of different pushback from a lot of different places. And we came to church. He and I were working together at that point. He came to church one Sunday, and it was gone. And we've never found out who took the sign. To this day, if you know and you want to share, I'd love to text him or call him and say, hey, I found out where this sign went. Brentley, yeah. I knew it. Dang it, Brentley. So obviously that sign was offensive to someone, something, I don't know. They didn't put anything else up, so I'm assuming it was the sign that was the problem. We sometimes struggle when we're faced with the fact that we have done wrong and that we don't have it together and that we aren't perfect or even okay in ourselves, right? Because that's really what salvation and the Christian faith is all about. It's coming to the reality that we are not good enough to get to heaven on our own. It is not a scale of I put more money in the offering than the sin I inflicted on someone else this week. It's not going to be that. And we're going to look at that a little bit further in. But I want you to understand that to be in the faith, you have to come to the understanding that you are not good in of yourself. Scripture says that even when we were enemies of the cross, God was looking out for us. He was coming after us. He was trying to build relationship with us. Fact of the matter is, we were enemies of the cross. We were the ones. We're going to walk our way into Easter, right? In a couple, 3 weeks? 17? Yep, 3 weeks. In 3 weeks in the morning, we'll be here at Easter. And that whole Holy Week, we call it Holy Week, it's a pretty rough week. And when we get to Friday morning of that week, we want to blame the Jews for screaming, crucify him. But the reality is, each one of us screamed, crucify him. He still loved us. So this passage this morning is out of 1 John, and it really does talk about confession. And so we're going to look at what confession looks like in our walk, in our daily walk, and what it means to understand what we take to God. See, because I think one of the disciplines that we struggle with is we don't clear our hearts to allow for a better relationship with God. We allow these things to be in the way. And when they're in the way, they do block some of that connection with God. Hence the reason when we sit around the table, one of the things not every month, but a lot of months, I always want to take the time to spend 20 or 30 seconds to just quiet our hearts. Quiet our hearts and reflect on where we're at. And when we get that moment to reflect on where we're at, to ask for forgiveness for any of that stuff that's in between us and God. And the reality is sometimes we don't even make it in the building without having a sinful thought go through our head. Or to have something that goes against what God would want for us. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about confession. And in the beginning, I want to start out with this passage, and we're going to talk about, and it seems really simple, but there's this illustration that God is light. And that is actually the verse, right? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. One of the first parts of confession is understanding who God is. Understanding that God sent Jesus, his son, a part of him, to this earth as a perfect substitution, a perfect sacrifice for us. And the confession that happens there is this: I need someone to come and be the light in my life. I think part of the struggle that we have is that we want to believe we're not that bad. We want to believe that we're some okay. I didn't do what the other people did. I didn't rob a bank this week. I didn't take anyone's life this week. We want to believe that we're okay. And the scripture is really plain. You're not okay. I am not okay. Not in of my own volition. I am not okay. God is the light. There's no darkness in him. And what this passage is going to talk about is God is the light. And guess what, kids? We're the dark, right? We like it or not, we're in the dark. And so when we think about this passage, I'm challenged to think that there's only one way to heaven. See, we live in a world where there's given this illusion that there are lots of ways to heaven. Just pick your way, and you can pick one of many trails, and you can go up that trail or this trail. You can even go end around trail and pick one, right? But Jesus comes to this earth, and he tells them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And if that offends you, that's where your pride's kicking in. Right? If you think that's offensive, that Jesus would say that I'm the only way, there is no other way, right? And that's where the world struggles. They're like, well, Jesus is one way, but there's a lot of other ways. And Jesus says, no, there's one way, through me. And if that bothers you, there's pride involved. See, my sense is that's where the struggle is in our faith, right? When we don't come to faith, when we don't want to come to faith, or we struggle to figure out faith, or like even when we're sharing the gospel with someone who will not accept or wants to mock it or push against it, there's a pride piece in there. There's a pride piece that says, I'm okay. I'm good enough. Don't you understand? I did more good than bad today. That's great if we're dudes in a scale that looks like this. But that's not what God uses. And all too often, we miss what's really the truth. We are prideful humans who want our way. And we don't want to believe that God is the only light. We don't want to believe that we somehow fall short in the way we did life. There's an arrogance in that, right? And I think that's what holds us up, holds us back from confessing our sins. There's an arrogance in saying that I'm righteous on my own. Like somehow I did it right. I read my Bible every day this week. I listened to one praise song every day this week. I said a prayer for my neighbor every day this week. And somehow that makes me worthy of God. When the reality is this, none of that stuff makes me worthy. The reality is there's nothing in of myself that makes me worthy. And we have to come to that space because all too often we want to believe that somehow we can earn this faith, that somehow we can be good enough, that if we read enough or if we study enough, if we're kind enough, if we make good chili. I got a little leftover if anybody wants some. But it is hot. Right? We want to believe that. We want to believe that somehow we deserve God's love. And I'm not trying to beat you up, but in order to get to the place where we understand how valuable confession is in our life, we have to come to a realization that we don't deserve it. That we don't deserve God's love. And that our pride gets in the way when we actually believe that we have something to offer God. Does he want to use us? Absolutely, and we're going to get there. Does he want to use me as a vessel? Yeah. But he also wants me to understand that where I really stand in this world, I don't have much to offer. God is the only light in this world. Second, our sin is dark. Our sin is dark. See, we want to minimize the things that we do. When we offend someone, when we say something about someone else, when we gossip, there's a whole laundry list of things that we do that are sin. But we want to minimize that, right? We want to say, well, it's half justified because they're being stupid. Don't you understand they're being stupid? Right? We want to justify our sin. Myself included. The scripture says this, though, in 1:6, says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, God, and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We lie to ourselves. And I don't want you to leave this morning not understanding that if you don't think that your sin is ugly, you're missing out. You're missing the gift of confession. Your sin, I don't care what it is ugly. It separates you from God. That sounds scary to me. It gets in between me and God. And like it or not, I want to ignore it. I want to push it off the side. I want to not remember it. I want to just minimize it away. I want to say, well, yeah, everybody's doing that, right? I mean, what's the big deal? The reality is it's ugly. It's sinful, and it's ugly. And this is what the scripture says. The wages of that sin, what you're going to earn for that sin is death. Not because I said so, but because the scripture says so. What you're going to earn for your sin is death. Thank you, Lord, there's a way out, right? But the gift that God gives us is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Our sin is dark. The hope is Jesus. That should take us to this space. Glenn said it right at the beginning, right? It should take us to a space of humility. If anyone walks in this room believing they have clean hands, we don't on our own. We have clean hands because God has made our hands clean, but not on our own. It may sound a bit heavy and maybe it sounds a bit dark this morning, but I think we have to understand that we need to confess our sins, that our struggles, that our problems, the things that get in the way between us and God, there's a discipline in saying, God, I'm sorry that I was this way. I'm sorry that I gossiped about whoever. I'm sorry that I mistreated this person. I'm sorry that I thought evil about this situation. And I don't know about you, but you know what drives me the craziest about myself? I swear it's the same stupid sin over, over, and over, and over. That's right, Lauren. Right? And we're like, do I really have to take this one to God again? And then what day is he going to get tired of listening to me? That's where humility comes in. All right, God, I'm here. I am again. I'm at the table. I don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. I wonder how often we're willing to confess those sins with people we trust or people we love or people who love us. Right? I don't even think we do that all that often. It's rare. It's rare that we'll take the time to invest time and energy in sharing the moral failures of our lives. The sins that overtake us. And yet the scripture, you know, if you're good at reading the Bible, then there's some scripture that's going to challenge you. And this is the scripture, right? James 5:16 says, this is for your KJV people. I found a King James Version. I thought I'd put that one up today. Confess your faults to one another. Confess your sins to one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. Does anybody want to be healed from their sin, from their struggles and trials, right? Confess them to someone else who you trust, who will pray for you. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're struggling with sin, confess that sin to someone you trust. There's an accountability group, a small group of guys who meet, and I'm thankful for that group because I think there's an opportunity there for men to be able to sit together and share some of their struggles in their marriages, in their personal lives, in places. And if you don't know about that, see Brentley, he heads that group up. And to me, that's really important. Why? Because our sin is dark. Our sin is dark. Don't minimize that sin as just a little bit of gray. It's dark. And it gets in the way of our relationship with God. And if you don't know what your sin is, maybe it's time to let down and be transparent and share with someone else where life is, and that so that you can sort that out. Maybe it's time for you to pray to God and ask Him, God, what are those things in my life that get in the way between you and I? David, the Psalm 51, David didn't seem to catch on that he was doing such evil things until Nathan came and straightened him out. The only way to God is confession. Our path to God is confession. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This discipline takes us to the Father. Not unlike the other ones, but this one helps us, in my mind, helps us to get past the garbage that's in between. It helps us to remove the things that we have allowed to pile up between us and God. It helps to open that path so that we can have that we can commune together. And as David says, it washes us white as snow. The hard part is we probably won't be white as snow for very long. I found this quote and I really like it. It's a Oswald Chambers quote. It says, we're not meant to be seen as God's perfect, bright, shining examples, but to be seen as everyday essence of ordinary life, exhibiting the miracle of His grace. And maybe you're asking yourself, why did I pick that? Well, I pick that because I think all too often we think we're all that in a bag of chips. And the reality is it's not that who we are that's most important. It's the grace of God through us that's most important. That's where the work is done. The work is done through God's grace in our lives. Because on our own, we can't do it. We're not going to make it. And all too often, I sit in churchy things with churchy people who think they got it figured out. The reality is this, we're all in the same boat. We need God's grace. Whether you're the pastor Or the guy who's spending the rest of his life in jail? Or the guy who stole from the store yesterday? We all need God's grace. And if we can come to that space in our own life when we recognize that we are no different, no better, no worse than any other human who has sinned, we're a whole lot better at doing life the way God would have us do it. It comes down to confessing. It's in those moments, that's what took us to this relationship with God in the first place. Right? If you have not confessed your sins to God Almighty, then I would challenge that you have not made a profession of faith, that you have not got yourself to a spot where you understand what it means to be a Christian. You can say you're a Christian all day long. And I would say that in the world we live in today, that the statistics of people who call themselves Christians in America, it's huge. The reality is the pile of real people who follow Jesus is a whole lot smaller than that number. See, we want the benefits of a relationship with Christ without the work that comes in it. It's kind of like fast food ministry, right? Fast food faith. We don't want to wait more than 2 minutes to get our hamburger. And if we do, oh man, right? We're fighting mad. Don't they know it's fast food? I want it fast. We all know, though, that a good meal takes time. Real faith. We make that confession that we're not enough. And then it says in Philippians, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And there's a process there. There's a process of understanding who we are. There's a process of understanding who we are in Christ. And there's a very serious part of that, which is confession. Understanding that we're not all that. I want to challenge you this morning, if you haven't made that profession of faith, if you haven't confessed that you are a sinner, there's an opportunity to do that. We're going to take the offering here in a few minutes. There'll be opportunity during when the praise songs. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to share with you. If not me, there are other people. You can catch up with any of the leaders of this church, most of the people. There's an opportunity to change your life and to change it today. You could have walked in here not a believer, and walked right out this door with eternity and a life of hope where we haven't had hope. Let me encourage you, if you haven't made that decision, today is the day. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the illustration of light and dark. Lord, we recognize that in our life, we want it to be all lit up and flashy and pretty and like stars and shining in the night. And yet, Lord, we recognize that in and of ourselves, we are dark. Our sin has stained us. It has broken us. It has torn us apart. Lord, I pray this morning for anyone who has sinned between them and you. Given the opportunity, Lord, to come to the altar, given the opportunity to have a chance to pray, I pray that, Lord, you would help them to leave that where it needs to be. May they walk out clean because you have absolved them from that sin. Thank you for your love and care. We recognize, like David recognized, Lord, that even though what he did was awful, you gave him grace. You forgave him when he couldn't even forgive himself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.